that book up. A little difficult, isn't it? Okay, that's just an example of what we're going to talk about today. You may put them down. I know arms are sore and shaky. Some of you had a difficult time with that, but I did it on purpose. Chapter 12, continues on with what is being spoken about. What is being talked about here in chapter 11 of Hebrews is the people that have gone on before in faith. It's an example of faithful followers of the Lord. We know that they are asleep in Jesus, but their testimony is the witness. Their proclamation of faith, their belief in Jesus Christ, even though they didn't see him, is what Paul is talking about. And so he's saying, with all of these heroes of faith and the testimony that they give, we need to know that there is something you and I need to do. Hebrews chapter 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses, and remember that is the testimony of their faith, let us lay aside every weight and sin that which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. People may not be aware, but most human beings carry a weight around with them. That weight is called the past. Most people spend 65% of their emotional and spiritual lives in the past. 25% in the future, leaving only 10% of spiritual and emotional energy to do the things that need to be done today. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are in the past. Some of you I know have sins that you committed in the past. We all have, right? Some pretty heinous and some not so. But sometimes we also consider the sins of our relatives or the people around us. And if we are not watchful, we will forget that those things are behind us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God." Whatever you did in yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, it's in the past. And though you may have a memory of it from time to time, if you've truly brought it before the throne of God, it is done with. There may be times when the enemy hits you with one of those memories to try to convict you, try to make you believe that Jesus did not forgive you. He will try everything he has, every trick in his book, to convince you, oh, surely God can't forgive you of that one. For any of you that have ever ministered in prison, you will hear statements once they receive Jesus Christ in their lives. We'll make the statement that though they are still locked up, they're more free than they ever were outside because they gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is transforming them. And though they still may be paying the price for their earthly deeds, the spiritual price has been paid through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So anytime the devil comes to you with your past, and it brings sorrow, it brings conviction, it brings a doubt in you that God has really not forgiven, remind yourself what 1 John says. 1 John 1:9, you know that's one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, that's the first key. If you have confessed it, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So in your dealings, in your walking with the Lord, if the devil hits you with an act of the past, your past, a past deed of a family member, a past deed of your ancestors, just remember, it's taken to the cross. Daniel prayed for the all nation of Israel when he was still in captivity. He admitted that Israel had sinned against God. They all had sinned. They had all fallen into idolatry, and they were not keeping the Sabbath holy. And he prays for the nation of Israel that God would forgive them. And God does, because he restores them back to the homeland, those that were willing to go. So I want you to remember that that weight of yesterday can be lifted off of you if, one, you've confessed, two, you tell the devil to leave you alone. When he comes for accusation, if you feel that twinge of maybe, just push the devil aside and say, look, I've already taken that to the cross, devil. You're a liar. You may also have memory for another reason. There might be something that God wants to change in you based on your deeds of the past. And so he's saying, this needs to be worked on. You still have a little twinge of behavior that caused that to happen, so I want you to change. The other reason you may have a memory is because God wants to use that memory for you to witness for somebody else. You hear me tell the stories. I always laugh and say, I tell on the devil because I'm going to tell the world first. I was a stinker. Putting it mildly, I did things that were very, very bad, and I hurt a lot of people. I can't change that. But I can tell you what's happened in my life since and how God has turned that around and taken that heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh. So I care about people now. Because the day was, I did not care about you. Your only job was to make me happy, and oh my goodness, if you didn't, you were in trouble. Today, no. If you've ever been hurt by somebody, even within the church, you need to let that go too. We held up those books a while ago. Do you know you cannot change anything that happened while you were holding up those books? Believe it or not, that is in the past. And so God is wanting you to let go of the past. Let God take over those memories and move you in to a present, active life in Jesus Christ. But what about the future? Now, we know that we're supposed to make plans. We know the prophecies that say what's going to happen. But did you know that some people spend so much time in the future that they cannot live good in the present? Remember, 65% of emotional and spiritual energy is spent in the past. 25% emotional and spiritual energy is spent in the future. Life will be so great then. I will be so glad when. Oh, if only I do this, this will happen. And so you spend that emotional energy in the future. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a good insurance policy. There's nothing wrong with having your will in order. You need to make sure your banking account is okay. You do need to make preparation for the final days. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about dreams, fantasies, spending so much time in all of those efforts that you do not spend time in doing things now. There are so many families, people within the church. The children will say, my parents care more about the church than they do about me. They're so busy in this, or they're so busy in that, planning for the future and doing this and doing that, that they don't really pay attention to me. You've heard the saying, what good is it if you make a living but you're not making a life? Because if we spend too much time in the plans of the future, again, it robs us of the ability to take care of today. Make those plans. Have a good plan of action. This is hurricane season, so you should be packing your bug out bags. You should be making sure you've got extra water. You should be taking care of things because this is hurricane season. We're not talking about that kind of energy. We are talking about spending so much time in the great tomorrow that you're not living well for today. And have you ever heard the expression, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? They're talking about people in the church. They're not talking about people out there that have nothing to do with the Lord. They're talking about people in the church that have so much focus on the heavenlies and the great tomorrows and all of this and that, that they rob themselves of the joy and the privilege of today. Remember, 65% of emotional and spiritual energy is spent in the past. 25 in the great tomorrows. What are you going to do about that great tomorrow plan? You need to let go even of that and let God bring you back into balance. Because if you're still spending too much spiritual energy in either the past or the present, you only have 10% of spiritual and emotional energy to live today. Is it any wonder that even people within the church have a difficult time functioning? We just heard that beautiful song, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. But if you're spending too much time thinking about what's gonna happen soon, you're not gonna be prepared for what's happening now. Some of you have children to raise. You've got grandchildren to influence. You have your neighborhood to be a witness to. And if you're spending too much of that emotional and spiritual energy elsewhere, you're not going to live well for today. You're not going to be able to truly commit yourself to the Lord on a daily basis. Busyness can come in. Different things can come in. And you're not spending time with the Lord. You're not doing what God wants you to do today. There are things that God wants us to do today. And it's going to take everything of you and God working together to get it done well. So I can't afford to spend too much time in the past. When a memory comes, I bring it back before the throne. I remind the devil it's taken care of, so leave me alone. If there's a character flaw in me that the Lord is reminding me of, I commit that to the Lord too and say, okay, God, work on that. Help me to see what it is and help me to know. Several years ago, faithful in the word, preaching the word, and God told me it's time I get my spiritual house in order. What a shock. What? Now, he assured me it wasn't because I was going to die soon. It's because there were things he wanted to do through me he hasn't been able to do yet. Because there were changes in my philosophy and in my thinking that needed to be changed. Fortunately, that all led us to the Sabbath truth and being a member here of this church. Amen? But what if I had said, no, I'm doing the Lord's will? I'd be guilty of what Jesus said. Cast out demons. Do all these good things. But he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Ooh, I didn't want to hear that. So it broke my heart in the Lord, and I literally shut everything down at the mission until I found out, what God wanted me to do. Again, what if I had rejected the call of God? What would have happened? The wheels may have still been turning. Things may have still been going on, but God would not have been getting the glory. He would not have been given the glory. So that memory time again, it might be there needs to be a change in your character. Or it might be that you're connected with someone who needs to hear how God has worked in you. The past is done. Amen? Now the future, make those plans, make sure you're in good shape, get everything ready, and release it to the Lord, and let God, let go and let God take care of the future. Because now it is important that you take care of the now. Think about what's going on in your life today. Think about what needs to be done in your life, in the life of your loved ones, in the life of your family today. The first thing we do is pray. Ask the Lord to clear up your thinking. Ask the Lord to clear it up and literally let it go and let God take over. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Always remember that God is there with you. Amen? He's going to take care of that, but He also wants you to take care of the here and now. What do your family members say about you? How faithful are you to them? How faithful are you to your neighbors? What about your siblings? What about your cousins? All of those attached in your family, what witness do you have to them? I learned years ago that while I am not responsible for anyone else, I am responsible to everyone else in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that makes a big difference. If I feel like I'm responsible for you, I'm going to try to live your life for you, and that's not good. If you've ever dealt with people in the addictive community, you learn that lesson fast. You know you cannot change their minds unless God works in their heart. One of the ladies we were working with got angry at me one day when I was talking about God and changing and that, and she yelled at me, "You're trying to change my mind." I said, "Guilty as charged." She came to us with no clothes. She was dirty. She had been in her active addiction for months. Didn't she need a change of thought and a change of life? It shocked her when I said, "I'm guilty of wanting your mind to change, but I know that I cannot change it for you. I can only present it to you and help you to know what needs to be done." Not in condemnation, but in the reality that if something doesn't happen, you're going to be back out there. Now, the end of that story is she was with us. She was pregnant. She got to stay with us till just before it was time for her to deliver, when she went to a rehab center that's for pregnant women, and she had a healthy baby that was not born addicted to the crack that she had been on. Because not only did her mind change, but her spirit changed. So when you are active in your family, in your neighborhood, it is time, saints of God, that we become the witnesses God wants us to be. Don't try to live anybody else's life for them, but live in front of them. Show them. If you have the opportunity to speak a word to them, do so. But I've shared many times, it could be as simple as when you're in the grocery store, that you're kind to the clerk. The other day we were in the doctor's office and I needed to make another appointment. And the poor receptionist was frazzled. And she went, "Oh, who are you again?" And I told her my birthday, and she looked me up and she said, "Oh, Mrs. Harder." And I said, "Yes. I'm sorry. So I kind of teased her a little bit. And I said, oh, you mean that I'm not the only patient that you've worked with today? And she got a big smile on her face. I said, how dare you not remember me as soon as I walked in the door? Smile on my face. She's getting a smile on her face. And I said, ma'am, I know that you've worked with so many different people. Don't let it rattle me. I didn't know that just before I came up, one of the other patients had literally thrown a clipboard at her. She had to catch it before it hit her in the face. So here I am now making light and joking with her. And she felt so much better. She said, oh, I feel better. Before I left, I was able to pray with her right there in the doctor's office. She said, you know what? I'm going to make it through my day now. Thank you so much for being brave enough to pray for me in front of other people. Again, there was a day I really would have had that temper tantrum that she didn't remember who I was. There was a day that I would not have been lighthearted about it. I wouldn't have cared what other people had done to her. But today, I care. When you get gas, the gas station attendant, and there still is, even though you may pay with your card and you may fill up your own gas, there's somebody in that convenience store that is right there watching. Your neighbors. Excuse me. Though they may think you're an odd duck for going to church on Sabbath, have you ever explained to them why? Have you ever taken the time to even know who they are? It was stated at one time, most churches are guilty of not even know who their neighbors are. But it happens in neighborhoods too. Just yesterday when I was getting out of my car, one of the young kids riding on his bike said, hello. I said, hello. Because they know I care. They live down the road and there's lots of things that are not good in their life. But every time they come by, I talk with them. I work with them. And so they say, hello. Because God is good. Amen?
Amen.
I want to make sure that those children know that somebody likes them. That somebody cares. And who knows? Maybe they'll stop in and talk a little longer. And when they do, I'll be able to share some good things with them. Not too long ago, I was asked about what church do I go to. And I told them, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, I've heard about that, but what is it? Not what do y'all believe, but what is it? Excuse me. And I shared with them, first and foremost, I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you believe that he lived and died and rose again and he's in heaven ministering for you right now? Well, yes. Do you believe in that Jesus is coming again? Yes. Then you're an Adventist. What? Do you know what Advent means? No. It means coming. Excuse me, folks. I still have a little residue from Saturday. But so it kind of trips them up. So I said, the fact that you believe in the second coming of Jesus, that makes you an Adventist. Well, what about this seventh day stuff? Well, we choose to honor the Lord, as it says in Genesis chapter 2, to worship our Lord on the day he established for worship. And what Exodus 20 tells us, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. So we worship our Lord collectively, though we do so every day, we worship him on the Sabbath. Oh, therefore, seventh day, Adventist. Oh, well, I said, I know you're about to say, well, wasn't that done away with at the cross? Oh, I love it. I tell them, I challenge them, why don't you go to Deuteronomy and find out that the written law, the ceremonial law, was put on the side of the ark, and the Colossians said that that requirement was nailed to the cross, but the Ten Commandments never were. They stayed inside the ark. Are you sure? I said, I'm going to give you another challenge. Go to the book of Acts. Read every time that the apostles witnessed on this Sabbath, which was Saturday, and how they went into the synagogue. Either write it down on a piece of paper or underline it in your Bible and then come back and talk to me. Some take the challenge, some don't. But those that are taking the challenge are learning about the truth that the Sabbath still is a holy law. In your daily life, saints of God, you have families to take care of. You have things to do to get ready for the coming of the Lord. There are activities that God wants you to be a part of: praying, reading His Word, knowing what He says about you and about life. And so even in our present, if we let go of our fears and let go of the busyness and let go of all this other stuff and let God take over, we will have peace. We will have joy. We will have a sense that our life is worth something, and your life will be better. Rosie? No. All the problems taken care of? No. But you will know how to handle them. You will know what to do with them, and you will have a better balance in your life. I leave you with Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. This is a different translation than most of you have. But it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all that you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
What a beautiful promise. So lay down that backpack that's 65% of your emotional and spiritual weight. Let it go. Let God have it and bring you balance in your memories. The future, lay that aside and let God take care of that. Again, it's not that you won't make plans, but you will make it in balance. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you had 100% of your spiritual, mental, emotional energy to deal with today?
Amen.
Even Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll have troubles for itself.
Yes.
What does He tell us to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all that we have need of will be granted to us in His way, according to His will and in His timing. So I really don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I can trust the Lord my God. You can trust Him in all things. And He's going to work things out His way, His timing. He will work it out in ways you could not have ever imagined Him working it out. But how wonderful that you will have a testimony. You'll have the opportunity to tell somebody else what God has done. Your family members will see a change because you're thinking about them in the balance of other things. Your neighbors will be wondering, why all of a sudden are you knocking on their door just to say hello? A lady that has just moved out of our neighborhood is active in cat rescue. Lady that used to live down the road was a cat hoarder, and she never spayed or neutered the cats. And as a result, 24 cats have been saved just from our street. The Lord has enabled our family to tame them down, get them ready to be in the cage and taken off to the rescue to be taken care of and find their forever homes. I've been blessed with two of them myself. We got two cute kitty cats. But the thing is, that connection with that lady helped us to speak the word of God to her. She has a spiritual question. She's dealing with the death of her husband. Guess who she talks to? Me. We communicate. Through cats, God brought a connection. Look to see what God wants you to do with your family, with your neighbors, with your businesses, with people that you meet. Because we are to make sure that the message of salvation gets out so that when this word is preached throughout all of the world, every nation, every tongue, every peoples, including your family, your neighborhood, your co-workers, the businesses you attend, soon then and very soon will Jesus come again. Amen?
Amen.
So let it go, saints. Let God take over. Amen.
Amen.